Que la paix et la joie du Seigneur Jésus-Christ soient avec vous tous. May the joy and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all during this day, today, Sunday. Amen. Amen. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, Pastor Vincent, to share the word of God to you this morning. And I will be short, and I plan to use some time to show you some PowerPoint, some of the gospel work we do in France. The passage we have just read, it is a very familiar passage to maybe most of us. You may have read it many times, heard about it, or studied upon it. So this is why I didn't ask you to read what was said in the beginning, chapter 4, and then the latter part of the story. Here we are told that Jesus went into Samaria to talk to a Samaritan woman. Early on in the chapter, John describes that Jesus just finished his ministry in the south, Judea. And then he was about to head north, going to Galilee. And then in verse 4, very interesting enough, that John describes that Jesus had to go to Samaria. And when you come to verse 9, and John tells us that, in fact, in Jesus' days, the Jews and the Samaritans, what happened? They do not talk to each other. So here you have verse 4. Jesus is going up, like from Scarborough, going to Newmarket. And so Jesus had to go through Samaria. Jesus had to go through, I don't know, where's midway between Scarborough and Newmarket, Stouffville. He didn't need to go to Samaria because by doing so, he would have broken the Jewish law. The Jews, they looked down upon the Samaritans for racial, for ethnic, religious reasons. They do not think the Samaritans are pure. So by saying hello to a Samaritan, maybe the Jew would think that they would get contaminated. So this is why in Jesus' days, the Jews would rather take an extra mile, bypass Samaria, and avoid going into the city of Samaria. Jesus was intentionally, purposely or purposefully? You guys help me with your English. Purposely? We will know. Not sure. Who's your English? Who's the English teacher? I don't even know. We. Purposefully? Purposely, I'm sorry, very good. My English is getting more rustier. So purposely, he was intentionally, purposely, deliberately going to inside of Samaria. Mission work, sharing the gospel in Scarborough. Is this Scarborough here? Okay, I don't have a clue where is Scarborough. One time I said, this is Scarborough. They said, no, this is not Scarborough. This is Richmond Hill. And I heard Richmond Hill. So this is Scarborough. Doing mission work overseas or doing gospel work within this city here, Scarborough, sometimes we need to think purposely, deliberately, or to a point even intentionally. if there's a group or a subgroup that we need to reach. We may even need to consider step outside of the four walls of the boundary of Scarborough or the comfort zone in order for us to reach to that mission's goal. So here we are told Jesus went in and he became tired. It was about noontime. Perhaps he was thirsty or even hungry, because at the end of the story we are told that Jesus sent off his 12 disciples to Scarborough Chinatown to fetch his lunch, right? And so he probably is very hungry. So he found this well just in front of him, and he sat there waiting. Lo and behold, after a little while, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from this well. And so Jesus saw her coming, and he initiated the conversation. And he said to her, "Can you give me a cup of drink from your bucket?" It's a very simple request. But to the Samaritan woman, to her amazement, she was literally astonished. She looked at him, and probably she said that in Cantonese, "Yao mo gao chua? Yo mei gao chua? What's wrong with you? I'm a Samaritan woman, and you are a Jew, because we're not supposed to talk to each other." By making this request, Jesus was breaking the gender, a male talking to a female, also breaking the ethnic, racial barriers. He was not supposed to do that. He was not supposed to talk to this woman. And this is how this woman would react. And so by looking at her, Jesus said, "Well, in fact, if you knew who I was, you would in return ask me for what?" Are you guys with me? You should know the story by heart. You don't need to, you know, the exact, you know, the wording. You can paraphrase it. You would in fact what? Yes, ask me for a drink. It's called the living water instead. And this woman, she was puzzled. And she said to Jesus, she said, "By the way, I'm not sure, what are you talking about? The well is deep, right? Have you seen a well before in your life? We don't have well in Scarborough. Is there a well in Scarborough? No, I don't think so. Yeah, so the well is very deep. And you don't even have a what? A bucket. How on earth can you offer me a drink?" And then she went on, she said, "This living water that you just mentioned, are you telling me something that you have, it's greater than the well our forefather Jacob, who gave us this well?" And then comes to verse 13 we have just heard. And Jesus said to this woman, she said, 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. And then, indeed, The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Wow. Now that's my first wow. Wow. No? Amen. And her eyes were wide open. Is there such a thing as the living water that you can offer to me? Once I drink from it, will never be thirst again. And this is what she said. Really, if that is true, in verse 14, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty. And then what? Now that you can look at your scripture, you don't have to look at me. And then I don't have to keep coming here to draw water. Not only that, I won't be thirst again. But the magic thing is, I don't have to come back every day to draw water from this well. I don't know how many of you have this experience by going to the provincial park camping trip in the summer days, in the summertime. You guys, young people on the fourth row, what do you do in the summer? You guys go camping? Nada. Shame on you guys. What do you guys do? You are very studious. You look very sophisticated to me. Okay, good for you, young man. Now, I don't know what young people do nowadays. Pastor Vincent, you have to excuse me. I've been away for some years. I know they like to hide in a mall, a hot day like this. Wow! Now that's a good wow for you guys. I know this is this past week or this coming week?
The past 3 weeks.
Good for you guys. Good for you guys. But after VBS, you deserve a break. Another wow. That's a good one too. But what I want to say is that camping trip can be very, very exciting. Maybe do consider that. Otherwise, I mean, living in Canada, not knowing to enjoy, you know, God's creation. That's a big no-no. All right. Going to camping trip in the summer. You know, you need to kind of like get a big bucket, right? And you have to go to a station, right? Some of the older folks, you might remember that. I don't know. Then you need to collect water, and then you bring it back to your campground. It's not fun. And then you have to use it sparingly. To understand the context of Jesus' conversation between him and the Samaritan woman, we need to use a little bit of our imaginations. That in those days, or even today, water in that area, Palestinian area, it's a very precious and rare commodity. Nisba? Yes. I once took my family to visit Egypt. We went to the Red Sea. And of course, we stayed in a very cheap hotel. And so during the night, and when my two younger girls, they need to brush their teeth, they discover that the water is salty. You know, they don't use fresh water in the washroom. And then when they take a shower, it's all salt water. Only in a more fancier hotel, maybe you can use some fresh water to do brushing or washing. You know, Canada, you don't have this issue. So sitting in a very comfortable worship hall, air conditioned, and you know, I see that everyone has a plastic bottle just next to you. This is common. We have plenty of water. And then when we come to study this part of the script. You need it's hard to appreciate what happened then. So unless I will take you out now, you know, sitting right in the sun, you say, wow, that's what she meant, that's what he meant. Walking each day, you know, with a vessel, I don't know what you call that. This is how she carried. How many times she has to go back and forth, you know? Maybe this side here, this young lady. Yeah. Sorry? Once a day? You think that would be enough? Est-ce que tu penses suffisant? Well, she has to, well, maybe she use it very sparingly. Maybe she has to go back several times. It's not a big vessel. It's not like, you know, a humongous thing. So it's a very mechanical, mundane, very, it's hard work. If I can drink from it and you can offer it to me, I don't have to come back. Sometimes this is how we react the same in our context today. Once you believe in Jesus, what will happen? Your boss will not chao yao yu. He will not lay you off. Once you believe in Jesus, you know what? Your mom's cancer will be cured. Wow. Once you take Jesus, what else would happen? Tomorrow, you will get a promotion. I don't know if you work or not, this brother. Yes. Once you believe in Jesus, it's guaranteed. You hop on the plane, you don't need to worry whether the plane will eventually have an accident or not. Is this the case, young people, on that fourth pew? Is this the case? The young man there. I enjoy asking you guys questions with an eagle flying. Of course not. Did you know that my mom just passed away last Sunday? And she died of cancer. And she struggled, suffered for the entire, 6 months? Believing in Jesus and solving our real life difficulties, issues, are not the same thing. Don't get mixed up. Tomorrow, do you need to work? Of course! Do you think once you believe in Jesus, all your real life issues will be solved? Of course not. As we come to the end of the story, this woman, she accepted Jesus as the Messiah she has been waiting for. Do you think the next day that she needs to go back to draw water from that well? Mademoiselle. We. Of course, right? You guys, maybe it's too early in the morning, huh? Sunday morning. I don't know. It's not part of our culture to be so loud and expressive. I'm becoming more like the French now. How many times, mademoiselle, she has to go back? Yes. Huh? Okay, 3 times? Well, it was less than before then. Many times, right? It's just a tricky question. As much as she needed to go back, she may accidentally trip, and then, oh, she has to go back again. Nisba? But the difference is, once you have Jesus, everything else in life would become secondary. Amen. Amen. My mom, she was a faithful believer. We thank God, all my siblings, thank God for my mom. Seven of us. Just this past Wednesday, we had a private, just a family funeral service for my mom. During those 6 months of suffering, my mom, she had peace and comfort from the Lord. Although it was not smooth sailing all the way, but that was the difference. She knows that our Lord walked with her, even though through the valley of death. That is the difference. Once you have Jesus, tomorrow you still need to, you know, look at someone that you don't want to see in the workplace. You still need to face many challenges in life. But that's okay. Come what may, this is what we should say. God is walking with us. Amen. Amen. And here comes the golden moment. That when the women asked Jesus, please give me this water. Verse 16, he said that to her, go call your husband and come back. Jesus had been waiting for this moment. This is the reason why he intentionally, purposely, deliberately went to this well. It was waiting for this particular moment. Please call your husband so that he could come. I have no husband, she replied. How many of you think Jesus was being nosy? He was definitely pushy. He didn't want to let this moment pass by. He was caring for her. He said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five. And the man you are living with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Some years ago, I preached on this message in Europe. After my sermon, a young lady came forward as if she would like to talk to me. With her head bowed, seemingly quite embarrassed. And then she saw me, she raised her hand up like this. Do you know what she meant by this? Yeah? The brother with checkerboard. Sure. You almost hit the jackpot right there. She have had 5 relationships with different men. I must admit, I did not know how to respond to her statement. The way I see her, she was no more than 25 years old. I never knew how our young people today between boys and girls relationship can be so casual. And this is my polite way to describing it. Can be so messed up. Can be so hurtful, reckless, can be so wounded. After all, I thought all these youngsters were protected by the four walls of the church. After all, you folks grew up in Richmond or Scarborough. We're not in Hollywood nor in Cannes, southern France. After all, you guys were taught by Pastor Vincent, Pastor Amy, whom I knew for years. After all, your parents are all well Christian beings brought up in the church. I asked her to sit down, and I said to her, there's nothing, no sins are too great that our Lord Jesus cannot forgive. Amen? No? Yes. This is the good news. But sometimes we may have heard it too many times. It's no big deal anymore. Yeah? Okay. Paul said, if there's anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Wow. This is the good news. This is the essence of our gospel. If there's anyone in Christ, Christ will give us a new start. The old has gone and the new has come. She has to come back, make a U-turn. Repentance means make a U-turn. Before she was going her way, and now she realized she has done wrong. She has to come back. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well, it's about grace. Sharing the gospel, doing mission work, it's about telling others about this special grace. Jesus set his time aside. set his busy schedule aside, turn off his cell phone, send off his 12 disciples. He took the risk by breaking the Jewish law. He had to get inside of the city of Samaria. He sat there. When the women came, although he knew of her past, yet he did not look down upon her. Sharing the gospel is not to condemn someone that he is a sinner. Rather, it is by telling the sinner that there's a way to make a U-turn. Amen? Jesus alone can offer to us this drink, this precious living water can only be found in Jesus. Some of us may have been coming to this church, the New Covenant Chinese Alliance Church, since day one of your life. We will know. None of your young people? Yes. Even the pews would recognize who you are. Here they come again. Oh, I got the same person. Our faith sometimes by coming every Sunday would become stale and monotonous, thank you. And by hearing, Jesus can forgive our sins. This kind of jargons or statements, sometimes we just numbed, desensitized. There's no big deal anymore. Or even to a point, I know some young people, they would first sin and then ask for forgiveness later. In chapter 7, this is what Jesus said to the crowd. Chapter 7, verse 38. 7:37. Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow out from within him." Brothers and sisters, some of us here, maybe in our midst, maybe are really thirsty. Maybe there's a bit of the Samaritan women genes within us as well. I do see that there are some parents with us this morning. The parents need to realize this is how our young people are craving for intimacy, for acceptance, for physical or emotionally love. They all want to be loved, and yet they do not know where to go about. We need to pray for our young people. They are just sitting here. And this morning, Jesus said, "Come. If anyone is thirsty, go to Jesus. In him alone can quench our thirst." And remember that there's no sins that are too great that our Lord Jesus cannot forgive. I want to show you some slides. This is my family. Two girls, Noelle and Pascal. My wife's name is Karen. Am I blocking? Maybe I should just come down.
In front of our church.
Kitty every summer during Tunji. You know that? It's okay. You don't know. And you guys have to go back and learn what you're trying to say. Jonah. And she's very famous, well known, the best person in Aljo. These rice cake. I don't know what you call that. Jonah? Not? You know what? Tomorrow. Very good job. So she would prepare a lot of the zhong before doing yunji, and then the next day she would steam them up. Just going down from her apartment to the prostitute, each morning she would give up two. If you didn't have a long lens to capture the expression when these prostitutes receive this zhong, it is quite moving. And this is a shot of another colleague, Becca Sam. Becca Sam, Pastor Becca Sam, is North African descent. He is a Kabin, he's not an Arab, minority group in North Africa, Algeria. He speaks fluent Arabic, Kabin, English, not to mention French, and some German. So we hired him. We recruited him, supporting him going through this Bible school education, and now we recruited him to reach out to the Arabs, the Muslims, in our neighborhood. There are approximately more than a million Islam followers in the suburb of Paris. And this is the first Kabylie North African Alliance Church in France. This is something, I tell you, the most wonderful thing that happened to us last year because of that Kassan. They have a congregation of about 30 to 40 people. This is a pastoral gathering, roundtable symposium between Paris and Amsterdam. Rome. We would like to start a church, a Chinese Alliance Church in Rome, in the near future. Presently, there are four Italian Alliance Churches. Anyone who speaks Italian? No? Anyone loves spaghetti? Bingo. You're recruited. So, great. We did the research, we did the survey. Now all we need is a co-worker and some more. This is the American couple working in Rome. Do you understand the writing on this t-shirt? Russian. What does it mean?
Jesus loves you.
Thank you. Adults can read Russian. Wow. Good for you guys. Means Jesus loves you. Graduated from class 101. Russia. So here, this has been my second trip to Moscow. This is a gospel camp organized by a local Chinese church in Moscow. They have about 200 plus congregations, but each year during the May 1st Labor Day gospel camp, this camp would have more than 500 plus people. Can you imagine the size? In the suburb of Moscow. All Chinese, all Mandarin speaking. More than half of the participants were non-Christian, non-church. We thank God for this opportunity. This is another gospel outreach in the suburb of Moscow. All these are farmers from the northern part of China. Look at these young men next to me. These young men actually are overseas students studying in Moscow. You have to know that not all Chinese would just come to Scarborough and study at UFT. I don't know where. There are Chinese everywhere.
visit. No choice.